B-Pod Studios.
Tutcher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. Life's tough. Yeah. My intuition is telling me there'll be...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Tutcher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. Life's tough. Yeah. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. How many Red Hot Chili Peppers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
Well, it depends on the last time they shut up. All right. Well, everyone loves Papa John, and he has unfairly been removed from the empire that he created with one pizza oven and a Camaro. Well, actually, he sold the Camaro to get his first pizza oven. So... we're in a situation now where, you know, what's a man to do? But, you know, he is in quarantine like all of us. And he decided to, you know what? He was bored. Didn't he say he was bored, Rich? He said he was bored.
So Papa John lives in Louisville, Kentucky. And what we have learned during his boredom is that not only does Papa John, of course, men want to be him and women want to be with him, but he also lives in this gigantic mansion, something he calls the Papa Castle, because in his boredom, he said, you know what the hell, I'm going to give you guys a tour. Matter of fact, the way that it's written is tour of Papa John's crib. That's what he calls it. And then it's got a pizza emoji and like a big eye, like an emoji with its eyes wide open, like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I thought it was his third eye, where it's where he comes up with all the sweet pizza ideas.
That might be it. But he captioned it, Tour of the Papa Castle Part 1, and he also added the hashtags My Crib, hashtag Finals at Home, hashtag FYP.
What does that mean?
Listen, I have no idea.
F you people?
I don't know. I don't know. For your pizza. And hashtag bored in the house. So he made a crib style sleek TikTok video in which he shows off his house answering the door in a t-shirt that just says Papa and wearing JNCO jeans.
Oh, he answers the door?
Oh, yeah.
Like someone rings the doorbell and he answers the door?
Oh, yeah. So it starts off with like the doors closed and then he opens it up and it's like, oh, hey, didn't know you were going to be here. Check out my house. So let's take a listen.
hey, stranger, just come on in. I didn't know you were going to be here filming. What?
So let's take a listen to part one of the tour of Papa's Castle.
Howdy, Papa John. Welcome to my crib.
What?
Stop. So he has the unlicensed rap song with the crib style, over the top of the castle, like drone footage, where it's like, oh yeah, look at this, and he produced it like a bad like 90s MTV Cribs episode. Yeah, what's up?
So I hear that during that part they show his helicopter.
I don't know if you see his helicopter. I know that you see that. I mean, maybe. I didn't. There's so much to look at, Fred.
Yeah, I know. When you're in the castle, your eyes dart all over the place. That is true.
Yeah, I don't see the helicopter, but maybe they do. Yeah.
All right.
But,
I just love bass.
So he opens up the door, and the first thing you see when you walk in is his foyer, in which he has. Well, he'll describe it's something massive.
Ooh.
1,000 feet. They made all the way down right before they hit the earth.
Okay, stop them. Stop it. There is in front of him a 40-foot statue of two eagles having sex.
And it's weird because it's Wallach on Wallach fornication.
It's two eagles fornicating 40 feet tall of it. And can underneath you... it, there's a caption that says, this isn't just a sculpture. It's a clock.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's time to knock the boots. You know how they have those, you know, have those clocks in like bad bars where it's like it's 5 o'clock somewhere and it's like stuck on 5 o'clock. This is just like it's boning time. So,
he went to a guy and said, listen, here's what I want. I want something that says I'm American as hell. So I want some American eagles and I want something to say that I like to do it. So I have these two eagles like humping each other, but I want to be huge. So you get the message when you walk in.
The amount of money that he spent to commission an artist to make that and that it will never be sold. And I said this yesterday. I was like, can you imagine being his Sotheby's? All right, next on the table, we have lot 445, eagles humping. We'll start the bidding at $5. $5 for two eagles humping. And I like how he knows the nature of it, too. He's like, they'll go up tens of thousands of feet, or they'll go up 10,000 feet and just hump until they get too close to land, and then he has to release himself from her sweet, sweet place. That's how Papa does it. He takes you to, you know, he takes you 10 feet up, and just when you think that you've reached the extent of ecstasy and you can take it no more, you gently come down.
Yeah.
Oh. I just can't imagine, like, when you're that rich and you're like that, you have no class. And just like, imagine even thinking that. Like, eagles hump. Like, I'm like an eagle humping. 10,000 feet in the sky.
He's Kenny Powers.
Oh, yeah.
Get American Eagles doing it. And you put a shotgun in their hand while you're at it.
If Kenny Powers had that, you'd be like, all right, that's too much. Like, they've gone too far with the show. I don't believe this character anymore. Eagles humping. All right, what else do you got?
They hit the earth, they separate. So they don't get hurt or killed. Perfect timing. Eagles mating, clock. Spins 4 times an hour. Check it out. Okay.
Okay, wait a second. It spins 4 times an hour? So it goes around 4 times in an hour because that's how long Papa John will satisfy you for.
Oh, hang on. Is he saying that those eagles, like the entire statue turns? Like, oh my God. So every 15 minutes, they turn as if it's like their movement.
Yeah.
Like okay,
because at one point, you can see the ecstasy on the eagles' faces. Then you find out, then you see a side view of them. And then you see just the back of the dude letting the lady have it. And then you see the ecstasy on their face again. Yes, every 15 minutes they turn around. Absolutely. I mean, how else are you going to know the mating habits of the eagle, the most majestic of creatures? The most majestic of creatures humping, making more eagles who are going to hump. It's the circle of life. Humping Eagles. That's what you got a good band name, Humping Eagles.
The Humping Eagles. Okay, hang on. I'm being told that there is an extended version of this video that starts with him and it says, do you know I have my own helicopter? And it says, want to see a tour of the Papa Choppa?
And it's him
walking to the Papa John.
It's all dusty. It's all dusty and I got cobwebs because he hasn't been able to afford gas for it.
The Papa Choppa.
Oh.
He said it's an $11 million house. He's going to be able to sell it for like $15. No one's going to want that thing. He's rigged it all up. All right, is there anything else?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
Perfect timing. Eagles mating, clock. Spins 4 times an hour. Check it out. Okay. Off the main foyer is the library. This is where I film a lot of footage. This is where I work, write letters.
Wait a second. All right, this is where I film a lot of footage of what? This is where I got a lot of footage of my, you know, very sexual conquests. I write a lot of letters, with, and then I kiss it with lipstick.
and say, this one's sealed with a kiss. And then, like I said, yes, this is my library. You'll notice many, many Wii magazines. You'll notice many, many, many magazines from the Hustler family. If I count Larry Flint as a very good friend, a lot of rare copies of Hustler right here. His library where he shoots a lot of footage. Footage of what? Footage of what? Footage of you taking penis pics that you can send him around?
Hang on. Hang on. Tell me. Okay. I don't have TikTok. I haven't signed up for TikTok. But Fred, if you have it, apparently there is a new video of him curling dumbbells. And it says Papa Bless or Papa Flex. And it's got him in his workout room talking about how he likes to crush weights. Hashtag keeping active. Hashtag Papa Bless. Hashtag food fam. Hashtag fitness. Hashtag workout.
Okay, I have TikTok. I know I have it on
It's at the Papa John Schnatter. He's, I guess this is, he is, like, I got a new video where he's talking about his weight room.
Okay, I'll have to find it.
Okay, because I need to see him crushing weights.
Okay, it's at Papa what?
At the Papa John Schnatter.
Okay. All right, at the Papa...
Papa John Schnatter. Where
how
he
do
gives
you spell Schnatter?
S-C-H-N-A-T-T-E-R, where he has got... Apparently, he's not only is he crushing weights, there's some of him in his garage where he's doing donuts on a big wheel... Slow motion.
Oh yeah, okay, I got it. Okay. I got his TikTok.
All right.
Yeah. It says Papa Bless.
Yep.
And he's got a shirt Papa Bless and he's dressed like it's Jesus.
That's him working out?
Yeah, it's him doing like weird like curls like that I've never seen before. They're kind of like sideways. They start at his thigh and he goes like up to his waist. But he's not like doing them. It's hard to explain. He's like swinging his arms around.
It's like the guy who goes in the weight room and you know he's never been to one before. But he's using all the weights.
Oh, he's ripped. I won't tell you he's not. But he has a shirt on called Papa Bless. And you know the picture of Jesus with like the light behind him in the robe?
Sure.
But it's his face on it. It says Papa Bless or Papa Flex. It's been liked by almost 12,000 people.
Well, of course it is. Who wouldn't like that? Who would not be all into that?
Then he's jumping up and he puts on a new shirt. It says, all his shirts have Papa on them. Check out my link in my bio to rock some sweet gear and give back with Papa. All right, I can't watch any more of this. Yes, go to, if you have
TikTok.
It looks
like he's working out in his kitchen.
He is.
Okay.
Yes, so he's working out in his kitchen.
Kitchen.
Yes, he's brought his weights into the kitchen. But he's selling memorabilia that says Papa on it. Boy, there's a lot here. There's a lot on TikTok. It says, took my original 71 Camaro Z20 out today for a spin today. What's your dream car? This is mine. It's the same car I had to sell to start Papa John's.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, we'll have more Papa John later. I need to get more into what's going on. Like, he loves that song. That's in his video over there, too. All right. We're going to have Forsberg on here. Chris Forsberg, of course, from NBC Sports Boston. He can give us some insight into what's going on. With the NBA and their plans to start things up, we'll be right back. Ooh.
Ooh. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Gentlemen, what is the difference between the great Harriet Tubman, the great Harriet Tubman, and Anthony Kiedis.
I don't know.
From the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Well, Harriet Tubman was a hero to the slaves. Red Hot Chili Peppers are slaves to heroin. Oh. What's the best way? What do you do if Anthony Kiedis is a house guest of yours? He's a house guest, and he won't leave the bathroom. What do you do?
I don't know. What?
You call the coroner. All right. Very good. I don't know why I find that so funny. Chris Forsberg. He writes about the NBA and the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. Mr. Forsberg, hello.
Good morning. Not sure how we follow that up, but.
Well, listen, I got a million of them. Why did the Red Hot Chili Peppers cross the road?
I don't know.
Well, they were escaping from rehab. All right, so. All right, so. You see that other NBA teams are starting to practice and things of that nature. And you see them there, you know, practicing. And Danny Ainge has come out and said, you know, what are we going to do? And, you know, the NBA has said, we'd like you to drive somewhere if it's possible, and we don't want you to take the train, and don't fly unless you have to. What are the contingency plans if the Celtics aren't allowed to practice in Brighton? And do you believe that will be the case, that they will not be able to hold practices there?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see. I think the Celtics are moving forward with the expectations. Danny said it the other day that, you know, he really hopes that by next week and the 18th that they're able to get in there and that they can do the individual workouts. Certainly it'll be interesting to see if they can't, if our stay-at-home order gets extended, if they have to sort of look around and where do you even go at that point? You know, I've heard people say, well, they've done training camp at Newport. You know, do you find a state that's a little bit more opening up right now or in phases of reopening? I don't know if they've really considered that. And I'll be interested to see. Again, they've treaded on the side of caution, and a lot of teams, even with the okay to move ahead, have been slow to allow their players to start getting back into their gyms. I just think the Celtics will be diligent about that, and I don't get the sense that it's a rush, but certainly as you look around the rest of the league, you know, you just want to be able to be on a level playing field with people. And if others are in there, as minimal as it is with one-on-one people getting up shots and stuff like that, it's still, you feel a lot more comfortable there than necessarily if you have to send your guys to if you're looking at, you know, where everybody else is spread out across the country and wherever they're practicing.
So we're at the point where there's not going to be any regular season games played, right? Like, we're going to go straight to the playoffs if they start, correct?
Well, so it's awkward. So, you know, Jaylen Brown was on CNN the other day and said that his understanding is that they might go right to the playoffs. But, you know, I don't know the exact logistics of this, but I think it's something like 70 games you have to hit to trigger your regional sports networks and make those contracts full. And I wonder if there's motivation there to have some sort of barometer. One, to, like, let teams ramp up a little bit as well. Before you dive into playoffs, it'd be really hard for me to envision a scenario where you sort of jump on the accelerator and then it's like, all right, here are the games that really matter. Like Celtics Sixers after 2 weeks of training could be a disaster. I think it's, you know, it also opens up the potential for injury and stuff like that. So I'll be very curious. Like, you know, again, if that's the only way you can do it, then sure. Like, just dive right in. But I do think there's motivation. And, you know, people ask me all the time, like, is the NBA coming back? And I say, well, you know, listen, everyone wants to finish the season. But a lot of it has to do with money and the salary cap and how the effects of it into future seasons. And these guys don't want to give up money, especially as you know, as right, I think today is the day they start, their checks aren't coming. And so, yeah. You know, I just think there's motivation on all sides, but money tends to win out. So if they can figure out a way to get some regular season games in there, I think they'll do it. But I don't know. I just don't see a scenario where that happens because, I just think the timeline is going to be so condensed that they probably have to dive right into to the postseason.
But, Chris, this phone call that was between the NBA Avengers, like, you know, everyone except apparently James Harden, who's a superstar in the league, and Kyrie Irving, which I think actually probably really pissed off Kyrie Irving.
It's even better, yeah.
So, but they all seem to be completely in on the season. Like, I mean, it, the way it's being reported is that there wasn't a lot of dissent. So, I mean, I would have to think, unlike in baseball where you've got a lot of issues going on, and in fairness, I don't think NBA is making them renegotiate at a renegotiation like baseball is. So, like, it seems like it's full steam ahead. If they all want it to happen, and they all seem to be fine with whatever the NBA is telling them, safety protocol wise and money wise, then it doesn't see. It seems like this is a reality, doesn't it? Now, Chris, especially after that last call.
Certainly, what I think is that when you got someone like LeBron who looks at his career and says, you know, how many years does he have left? And this is a really good chance for him to go out and get another title. There's motivation. When the number one guy in the league is eager to get back out there, I think there's a trickle-down effect. And I don't want to say, like, that he's more eager than anyone else. Like, you know, talking to Celtics players, they want to get back out there. Now, some of them are sort of borderline, like, they want to make sure this is done safely, and they want to make sure that, you know, that the situation is right. And I don't think, you know, I think there are guys that are more likely to just be like, let's just get out there and play and throw caution to the wind, whereas there are just more people, there are going to be some people that are a little bit more trepidation with returning to play. But certainly when everyone is motivated to find a way to do it, I think they'll exhaust every option to figure that out. Again, I don't know. Maybe, and again, maybe it's just because we're here in a state where, you know, we're still in under stay at home, and where just going to the grocery store is daunting. It's hard for me to envision a scenario where that happens easily. And yet, like, look, there's just a lot of smart people in the NBA, and I trust that they're trying to figure out the best way to do this at one of these bubble sites or whatever. And it's going to look weird. It's going to feel weird. But if they can figure out a way to get this done, at least there's finality, and then you sort of just hope to reboot and look a little bit more normal next season.
All right, so there was a story that came out yesterday that Joe Buck was talking about the discussions that the NFL has had about the actual presentation of these games that might not have any fans. And Joe Buck was saying that there's real talks going on right now at Fox at putting in fake crowd noise during the games and potentially even CGI fans in the stands. Do you see the NBA doing anything that stupid during their broadcast once basketball starts back up?
I hope not. Just embrace the weirdness of it, right? Like, it's going to be awkward. You're going to hear weird sounds. You're going to hear people curse. You know, I forget. Maybe it was Himmelbach, my buddy at the Boston Globe, said, like, have it where, like, almost like the Jordan documentary going on now. Give me, like, the unfiltered version on ESPN. And give me, like, if you got kids and you're worried about it, put the regular on ESPN2 or, you know, whatever. if we gotta go NBC Sports Boston and NBC Sports Boston Plus, or I don't know, stream it. You know, figure out a way where, just give me the unfiltered version. Let me hear Brad Stevens curse. Like, let me hear what it's like when the players are just yapping at each other.
Well, it's like Summer League. If you've ever been, like, at a bar or something when they have the Summer League on, it's like, you know, you can hear everything that's going on in the gym. And it's, you know, it's perfectly fine. I agree with you. I think it would be interesting.
I think people are just overthinking it when you hear about, like, overseas and they want to put robot fans in the stand. It's like, come on. Like, we're just going to be so thirsty for sports. We'll figure it out. There'll be this, like, hour-long thing on Twitter where, like, everyone's, oh, my God, this is so weird. This is so awkward. And then, oh, it's just sports. We'll be okay. I don't think we need to pump in sound noise or do anything crazy. It's just going to be neat. And honestly, you know, especially if they go to a neutral site, you know, so much of sports is momentum and feeding off the crowd. I will be curious to see how teams respond to that. Do mentally tough teams have an advantage? And is there a way that coaches can sort of get their guys more focused? And how do they play through runs when you don't have crowd support or crowd going against you? I'll be fascinated to see how people respond.
How do you predict the Celtics faring in this? Because, I mean, there's two schools of thoughts. Veteran teams might do better because, you know, they're used to this, you know, they could do this in their sleep. But then we've talked about, you know, even Marchand, it's a different sport, but they're talking about how younger teams or older teams, rather, you know, they need more lead up time and more conditioning to get ready. Where do the Celtics stand, and how much will their game be affected if they do indeed go straight to the playoffs?
Yeah, so like I did think that this thing the other day, like the five most pressing questions, and probably number one is just like, how does Kemba's knee respond? So, you know, he obviously was battling a little bit of soreness here. you know, the downtime is good, but it's not like he's been able to get in and get treatment and rehab necessarily more than, you know, whatever he's able to do at his house. And so if they do a quick restart here, how does that impact him? The Celtics certainly do have younger guys that probably won't need that sort of ramp up time, and maybe they're more ready to go, but there are also a lot of untested rookies that I don't think Brad Stevens will be overly eager to toss into playoff situations. And so, you know, again, everyone's going to sort of be dealing with it. That's the other big thing is like, what happens when the first time someone tears an Achilles in one of these games, and what's the blowback from that? But, you know, again, I think players are willing to take that risk to get out there as long as everything else in terms of the coronavirus is okay. But I do think the Celtics will, you know, be ready to go. I think Brad has kind of instructed them to stay a week away from their best health, and, you know, they're probably not that, you know, it's sort of like, you know, until there's an actual, okay, get ready, guys can sort of just do what they have to do. But, you know, Semi Ojeleye has probably been lifting weights for every day this quarantine. I'm sure he'll be ready.
All right. So the one other thing is that, you know, there's been talk about how everyone's pretty much going to be fine with this because, you know, older people are, you know, kind of out of the picture. But, I mean, there are certain teams, like, think about the Rockets. Isn't Mike D'Antoni the oldest coach in the league? I think he might be 70. So you're going to have people who are associated with the teams that might have reason to have pause wanting to be part of this. Like, has there been any talk about that?
D'Antoni's on his way out, though, so that's the other part of this.
It's a decent point. Now, at least I'm looking at, like, Popovich. He's out of the playoff picture as we speak. But, you know, those are the first two I can think of. But, I mean, D'Antoni's that's a reality. So has there been any talk about guys like that, like the coaching staff that might be older?
Yeah, I mean, I think even just like assistant coaches, the ones we don't sit here and see a lot of face time of, they're older coaches in this league, and are they going to be willing to subject them? I think it's just going to come down to an individual thing. You know, I know Danny Ainge said he'll go. You know, and even though
they're all going to go, they're all going to go.
The thing. Well, and so I mean, that's why it all hinges on the testing, right? Is that if everyone feels comfortable that when you go into that gym, that every single person, every single operator, clock operators, coach, player, everything has been tested and is negative, there'll be a comfort level. And because I do think there will be an emotional, all right, we're back. We, you know, I need to be there. I need to see this. It's the playoffs. And I do think you're right. I think everyone will be probably erring on the side of wanting to be there. And I'll be fascinated to see how that plays out. But then, you know, what happens if there is a positive test? And how does the league react to that? How do coaches react to that? And it will be fascinating to me to see how it all plays out, because I do think, you know, from players to coaches, there are people that are a little bit cautious about how this is all going to work. It's really going to be on the NBA to stress that they can create a safe environment so that, you know, again, that people aren't out there worrying about that.
Well, you know that these coaches and how they are and how they've dedicated their lives to the game, and that they would do anything if it meant one win. There's no way. No
unless
way one of those.
Unless you're D'Antoni, that would be a fantastic middle finger to the organization that wants him gone anyway.
Right.
It's like, yeah. You know what? This whole COVID thing, I'm out, man. I'm scared.
So, right. You guys know? If they said, like, well, we're going to let every, like, media and radio, and would you guys be comfortable going to a quarantine situation?
I wouldn't, but I mean, but I'm in a different case. Like, I live with someone who's immune compromised, but so I would not go.
Yeah, I'd go. I wouldn't care.
I think that says it all, right? Like, everyone's situation is different. I just think there's a lot of variables here, and if someone said they weren't comfortable with it, I fully understand. Like, it's just a weird, unique situation, and I can't wait to see how it all plays out. I hope they can figure out a way to make it happen, but a lot of hurdles.
Well, it sounds like they will, and if you look at boxing coming back and the NASCAR and the MMA and now college football said basically the SEC says screw you. Not only are we going to play, we're going to have the kids to show. We're going to have the kids show up in a couple of weeks. I think that a lot of these things are going to get done. Chris Forsberg, he's from NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much for the time. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine. Bro, y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing.
Break up the five villains.
.985 the Sports Hub. That's the Rays lefty Magoo talking about how
Blake Snell,
how he's risking his life, bro, by going and playing baseball. So there was a negotiated deal between the owners and the players. Now the owners are claiming that they will lose $4 billion if they don't play baseball this year. And the players are saying, well, we're risking our lives, which I don't believe is a factor in this at all. I believe the only fact that they're using that is a bargaining position, which is fine. If you read Passan, it sounds like he, and then he gets way too deep into it, which I lost complete interest. But it sounds like he believes that they'll come to an agreement that they've kind of, I've just started this negotiation that could last, you know, for, a, you know, a few weeks. But, yeah, these guys are the risking your life thing is a little crazy to me.
Well, let's take that out of it. Let's just forget about the coronavirus. Let's say that that's not, and let's say that Major League Baseball has this magical dust that makes it so nobody gets sick. So just take that out of it. They already made an agreement, and now for the owners to play shocked that, oh, hang on, are you telling me once we start back up, we might have to play with no fans? Is laughable. Everyone knew that's how the season was going to start back up. What do you think? You're just going to go from a pandemic where no one can go to work to all of a sudden full stadiums? And that's what the owners are doing right now. They had the players renegotiate this thing, take this pay cut. All of the players agreed to it. And now 2 months later, they're trying to get them to agree to a second pay cut because they're acting, oh, hang on, aghast. We didn't realize that there we aren't going to get any kind of ticket sales for the time being, so you guys are going to have to lose more money. That is idiocy. And
well, maybe they said, felt, maybe the owners felt that they would start the season sooner than they did.
Well, no, I mean, the 2 months.
Or they didn't. Or they didn't know that, you know, at this point you couldn't have that there wouldn't be fans.
Well, you know, starting later than did doesn't matter because what the players had agreed to is they weren't going to get paid for games that weren't played. So that didn't matter. They agreed to no matter when it started, they weren't going to get money for games that weren't paid. So that's not, that's not true.
No, but no, the part, but you could make the argument that even though they weren't going to get paid for games that aren't played, it still affects the bottom line of Major League Baseball.
But baseball knew that they weren't going to have fans in stands. And that's what they're basing their renegotiation on right now. It's like, well, you know, now that they aren't going to be able to, we aren't going to be able to sell tickets, we're not going to be making as much money. Screw you. You made a deal you knew that was going to happen. And now you're playing surprised that you didn't know that fans were going to be in the stands. So in this case, I'm pro player. And they sound like douches. Every single person who has spoken sounds like an entitled a-hole, especially because of the money. But when it comes to negotiating a deal, they're right. They agreed to having a – you should have put that in the agreement in the first place. And don't – and by the way, I said it before, these players may be millionaires. The owners are billionaires, and they're the ones all of a sudden crying poor. I'm going with the players on this.
All right.
Then why are the owners furloughing their employees in baseball operations?
Great
How many
question,
people are going to get
Wallach.
Furloughed?
Great
why are people getting furloughed on June 1st?
Yep,
I mean, I just saw a story where Miami's going to furlough 40% of baseball ops and cut everyone else's salary by 25%.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know what? Shame on the owners for doing that, especially so with all the money they have.
I mean,
it's, you think it's right for a company to like double negotiate a contract that's already been agreed to on something that you knew what was going to happen?
You knew
there were going to be no people.
They're negotiating right now, and my feeling on it is, if you're a player and you feel like you have enough money and you don't want to deal with it, then don't go. Don't play. Because I can tell you what, if Major League Baseball comes back, it's not going to hurt that Bryce Harper's not there. People are going to be so excited to see baseball. It's probably going to be, since the Cubs World Series, it's probably going to be the most people were excited have been excited about baseball in a very long time. So, you know, if you don't want to play, that's fine, but it will make new stars in the league. How high do you think the ratings are going to be for baseball, comparatively? It's going to
be
huge.
The first couple of weeks through the roof.
Yeah, they're going to be massive. And what percentage of the league do you think will play, of players?
90. 95.
Yeah, okay, that's 95. That's fair. Yeah.
So if you have 90. All people who are not zillionaires are going to play. All the lower level people can't wait to get back and play, and they're probably looking at guys like Blake Snell and Bryce Harper saying, "F you, I'm getting out on the field."
Yeah, and I need the money, so I'm going to do this. So you know what? It's fair. If they don't want to play, first of all, this is going to get negotiated, and I have a feeling these guys are going to play. But let's say that's the COVID virus. Say one guy's completely concerned about it and doesn't want to play, then don't play. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, you're not going to get paid for the season. It's going to be another year of your career that you don't get paid. And if you're interested in, you know, records and things of that nature in terms of your place in baseball history, it's another year that you don't get.
Well, also is another, if you're a pitcher, it's another year you get to save your arm. So, I mean, if you're a guy.
Wait a second, though.
But 2.3 million. Because with Blake Snell, his whole thing is that with all of the money that the owners want to take away, he's already lost half of his $7 million. He's agreed to that. But then they want to take even more. He would be slated to make $2.3 million this year. Instead, and next year, and in the next 3 years, he's going to make an average of $12.5 million a year. And there's a lot of players who are making a ridiculous amount of money who are just going to be like, you know what? It's not worth it. And Fred,
okay.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I think that this is a situation where more people are going to be watching it. You know, there's going to be stars that are going to be made. There's more eyes on baseball than ever. That's another reason why the owners are blowing it here. If you can have your biggest stars out there and it costs you a little bit extra to do it, that is an investment, man. You do it. You know how hard it's been for baseball to have legit superstars? It's been, since Jeter's gone, like, who's the face of baseball right now?
Trout
doesn't want to be, though. Trout is like,
that's fine.
Commercials.
Then,
so you have
then
a
find
to
a guy.
Market
then,
your stars, and you have stars that
okay,
don't want to play
because
it's not worth it.
Then don't have them play. Then if they don't want to play, don't have them play. This is the 1 year it doesn't matter. People are going to watch baseball regardless.
Yeah, baseball's funny because Trout is the best player on the planet and doesn't want to be the face of Major
right.
League Baseball. The guy who desperately wants to be the face of Major League Baseball is Harper, and he's very unlikable.
Well, here's Bryce Harper yesterday. He was once again playing the old Twitch, and he was asked about Blake Snell's comments, and he's on Team Blake Snell.
What did Snell say on his stream earlier, do you know?
That he said it's not worth it to play with pay cuts and that he, like, you guys are risking your lives getting, like, obviously getting COVID.
Yeah, I love Snell. That's my guy, bro.
He said if someone gets it, they got to live with that for the rest of their lives.
He ain't lying. He's right.
He's like, I need my. He's like, give me my money or I'm not playing.
Hey, bro, he's speaking the truth, bro. I ain't mad at him. Somebody's got to say it. At least he manned up and said it. Good for him. I love Snell, man. This guy's a beast, too. The best lefties in the game, bro.
A lot of blowing.
Yeah, that's right. If you're looking for someone who's got a grasp on the situation, and even though Harper might be right, it's not Harper.
That is
Harper. Harper's about
$30 million guy. Is not the guy to talk to here.
Yeah, he's about one of the least educated people on the planet. And he is sitting there, and he's going to break down the sides. Listen, if Harper doesn't – here's how it is. Whether the owners are screwing the players or not, I do think this is going to get worked out. But if players don't want to play, they'll get their money next year. And if they choose not to play next year, they won't get the money. I mean, it's entirely up to them. No one's making them play. So, I mean, if the owners and the players work something out, which they will, because as you guys said, 95% of the players are going to want to play, which is enough. Then if Blake Snell thinks he's such a rock star that he doesn't want to play, that's fine. I mean, that's okay. And then he can be on Twitch. He can play games on Twitch all day. Like my son, who's 11. He can be like an 11-year-old and play games on Twitch all day. I mean, he's obviously having the time of his life. I just think it's funny when these star players are like, well, I'm putting my life on the line. Well, so's everyone else, jackass. That's the thing about it I don't like, is that I'm putting my life on the line. Well, everyone's putting their life on the line by existing. What a bad time to say that. You can just say, listen, for the amount of money that it is, I'm afraid that I could get injured. I don't think it's worth it. And by the way, I'm not positive anyone knew in March what this was going to be like. I don't know that they knew.
When you shut down everything, the immediate talk was if they come back, there's more than likely going to be no fans at first. Everyone knew that. Let's not change history.
No one thought we were
going to go from nobody being able to be out and schools canceled to full sports stadiums.
I don't think anyone knew where they were going to be out until July 4th, though, Rich.
Well, of course, when sports returned, they knew there were going to be no fans.
No one knew who was going to lose half the season.
Then the players knew, too. And then so if they knew, why did they sign the deal?
Well, because it protected them from that. What do you mean? Why would the players sign it? What they signed was that they would not get paid for games that weren't played. It didn't have anything to do with the state.
But there were provisions if there were no fans. So they signed a deal that had provisions if there were no fans.
Well, they want to renegotiate this thing now when they've already agreed to something, and that is insincere on the owner's behalf, that they had no idea that it was going to be this way.
Of course they didn't. No one knew in March what exactly this was going to be like. No one knew when it was going to start up. No one knew if you were going to be able to have fans. If you look back at March, no one knew.
They did. Everyone knew they weren't going to start up with full stadiums. Everyone knew that.
Well, they might have thought they would have partial stadiums. No, they didn't.
They thought you were going to go from schools closed and lockdowns to full stands.
March, April, May, June. No, maybe partial stadiums. That's 4 months ago by the time that they want to start or even thinking about start. They're talking about starting spring training again 4 months from when they made that agreement. So basically 5 months from March is when they're going to start playing. I believe that no one knew what this was going to be like starting in July. I think we all thought that there would be kind of some normalcy in July. Absolutely. I mean,
yes.
I don't.
And baseball would be back, but it would be without fans.
I don't know. I don't know if they knew that.
One of the more optimistic timelines that we had back in March. No one thought it would be a month and all of a sudden the stadiums would be full.
Not full, but maybe partially full. And the players, if the players knew it, I don't know why they signed these contingency plans. It seems like this proposal was put forth at a time where no one knew what was going to be happening. And they didn't. And if you think back to March, if you're a $1 billion business, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm doing my best to get people in there. All right. When we come back, one of our favorite moments from the past.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.